We've come now to chapter 3 in our study of the book of James, so we're going to begin in verse 1. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. We've said that the book of James is a very practical book. It's a book about everyday Christian living. And a big part of living right is talking right. And in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, James tells us how important it is to control the tongue, and he also talks about how hard it is to control our words. Let's begin in verse 1, where he starts with a warning about teachers of the Word of God. In James 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." The word masters in the King James Version means teachers. And of course, he's talking about teachers of the Word of God. He says, be not many masters. That means, let not many of you be or become teachers. Now, every Christian is to teach by example. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 16. So we all teach by our life and by our actions. And we know that every Christian is to teach personally as much as he can. The Bible says, be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. So 1 Peter 3:15 tells every Christian to be ready to give that answer. So every child of God is to teach personally and perhaps privately as much as he can. But James chapter 3, verse 1 is about those who devote special time to teaching the Word of God on a regular and especially on a public level in preaching and teaching the gospel. For instance, in Acts 13, verse 1, the Bible says there were in the church at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Well, the teachers there do not include every child of God and every Christian in the church at Antioch. There were some that were specially devoted to teaching the Word of God, and they are called teachers. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, the Bible says that God gave pastors and teachers. And again, the word teacher is used in the way that it's used here in James 3, verse 1. And what James is saying is this: not everybody can or should try to teach in this capacity in the church. Why is that? Why is it that the Bible tells us that not many in the church should become teachers of the Word? Certainly not everybody should be a teacher of the Word in this sense that he's talking about, but he says not even many should do this. He gives us the reason why that this is so. He says it is because we, that is, we who are teachers, James puts himself into that class, we, that is, we teachers, shall receive the greater damnation. The word damnation is oftentimes understood by Bible readers to refer to damnation in hell and condemnation in hell, but here the word damnation simply means judgment. And the idea of greater damnation or judgment simply means more strict judgment. Teachers of the Word of God will be judged more severely than other people. Now, all of us will be judged. Everybody will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. But when that day comes, teachers of the Word will be judged by God more strictly. And there are several reasons why this is so. There are several reasons why teachers will be judged more strictly than others. First of all, teachers of the Word study more and generally know more than others do. This is not a boast, and it certainly doesn't mean that a teacher knows everything, but it's a fact that stands to reason. Because of the hours that a teacher puts into preparing his lessons, he ought to know more, he ought to understand more in order to be able to teach others. And the Bible shows us that the more that we are able to know, and the more that we do know, the more we're held accountable. Jesus talked about those who knew not the Lord's will and how they're punished when they do wrong, but he also talked about those who know the Lord's will and go contrary to it. And he says in Luke 12, 47 and 48, that those who know the Lord's will and do not prepare themselves according to God's word will be beaten with many stripes. They're going to be held even more responsible because they had more knowledge. Number two, teachers are supposed to convey God's message. They're supposed to be representatives of God. The Bible shows that we are to teach no more and no less than what God says. The Bible warns that we are not to add to or take from the Word of God, Revelation 22, 18 and 19. So a man needs to understand what he is teaching. A man needs to know what he's doing when he's teaching the Word of God. And we read about some in the New Testament that didn't understand but tried to teach. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 7, Paul talked about some who were desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. So these men wanted to be teachers of the law of Moses, but they didn't even understand what they were saying. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, Peter warned of some that are unlearned, that is, they don't know what they're doing, and they're also unstable. And these very people take the Scriptures and twist the Scriptures. That's what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. A third reason why that teachers of the Word of God will be judged more severely than others is because teachers are held responsible for what they teach others and how they lead others. If a teacher teaches the truth to other people and they follow it, then he'll be rewarded. But if a man teaches false doctrine, he not only damns his own soul, but he is guilty of leading other people away from God. So it's bad for a man to believe error himself, but it's worse for him to cause other people to believe it. And that's why he'll be judged more strictly. And number four, teachers are accountable to God to live what they teach others. And so if they teach it, but they don't live it, then they'll answer to God. And the scribes and the Pharisees in the New Testament were guilty of this very thing. Jesus talks about how that the greater damnation would come upon the scribes and the Pharisees because they did not practice what they preached. Matthew 23, verse 14. So verse 1 of James chapter 3 is an example of using the tongue, and it's important for every Christian, but it's especially important for teachers to watch what they say. Now then, let's go to verse 2. James says, "For in many things we offend all, that is, all of us do offend or stumble. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." The word "for" here in verse 2 explains what he said in verse 1. He's giving the reason or the reasoning behind what he said in verse 1, and that is, in many things we offend all, that is, we all stumble. And how true this is. This shows that no Christian is perfect. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The word "offend" here doesn't mean to hurt somebody's feelings, although that may be a result. But the idea of offending is to stumble. It means to make a mistake, especially an unintentional mistake. When you stumble, you certainly don't plan to do that. So we're all, as Christians, guilty of those kinds of mistakes. We do this in many ways, he says, especially, though, with the tongue. So since we're prone to mistakes, especially in word, we need to think carefully about teaching the pure word of the righteous God. Now, what he says in verse 2 is that if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. That is, if a man can control his tongue, he can control anything in his body. And this would mean that he would be perfect, that is, truly perfect and without fault. Now, of course, no man is perfect in that sense. But James is saying that to whatever extent we can, that if we can learn to control the tongue, we'll be able to manage the body as well. Now, to show the power of the tongue, he gives us three simple illustrations in verses 3 through 5. In verse 3, he says, "Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." The first illustration refers to the bits in a horse's mouth. Now, those bits are a small thing, and yet you can control that horse with those bits, even though that horse is much stronger than you. Now, that's how powerful the tongue is. It is far more powerful than physical strength. This is why a little child can get his way with his parents, even though physically they're much bigger and stronger. And it's also how a little woman, for instance, can get her way with a big man to do what others can't convince him to do. Why? Because of the way that she talks. So the tongue is a powerful thing, just like bits in horses' mouths. Illustration number 2 is in verse 4. "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." The illustration here is the rudder of a ship. Now, he talks about these ships and how great they are. You can look at a ship that is hundreds of feet long, that weighs thousands of pounds, and he talks about these ships and how that they are driven by fierce winds because they were wind-sailing ships back in those days. And so those strong, fierce winds drive that huge vessel. And both the waves and the wind of the sea and the size of these ships is so impressive that we stand back in awe. And yet, those very ships are turned with what the King James says is a very small helm. That word helm can be easily misunderstood because it actually refers to a rudder, the rudder of a ship. And notice that he says, a very small rudder, wherever the governor, that is the pilot of the ship, wants to go. Now again, what this illustrates is the power of the tongue. The tongue is so small, but it can do so much good or so much damage. Illustration number 3 is in verse 5. "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." So the tongue is little, but it's capable of great things. The tongue can start a war or prevent a war. The tongue can comfort a soul or break a heart. The tongue can make a friend or separate friends. The tongue can save a soul or lead a soul to hell. The tongue can make a home happy or it can make everybody in that place miserable. The tongue can bring harmony in a church or it can divide it. Truly, death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18, verse 21. And so the third illustration here is a little fire, a little flame. Notice that he says, "Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles." A little fire, that is a little flame, burns down a great matter. And that word matter in the King James literally refers to a forest or wood. So it only takes a small flame, a little match, a spark, if you will, to burn down huge trees. And this is how powerful the tongue is, and this is why James said earlier in this book, "Be swift to hear and slow to speak."